at the time, I remember just like sitting there and like meditating and praying and like just thinking like, what is it that I need to do? Mm-hmm. I've got to become a warrior.
Hi, Liz.
Hi, Lee.
Hello, everybody. And we have the most special of all our, you know, lifetime special guests today. And Liz, I think you should do the honors of the introduction.
It is my pleasure to introduce two of my favorite people on the planet. Number one, Cameron Gray, my grandson, and my daughter, Clary Hilliard Gray, which, you know, I don't know if Clary's listened to all these podcasts, but her name's been brought up a few times. So here we all are all together because we want to talk about what's coming up in May. And so, Lee, I'm going to let you take it away, and then we're going to give it to you two.
Okay. First of all, why don't we all just say hello? Let's hear your voices.
Hello.
That's Cameron.
Hey, y'all.
There's Clary. So there they are. Is this your first podcast ever?
I've been on the news a few times, but I don't think podcasts.
Okay. Welcome to your first podcast. You've done this rodeo before.
Yeah, I've been on a couple of podcasts before.
Yeah, you have.
It's always fun.
It just runs in the family. Yeah, a bunch of naturals. Okay, so what we're going to talk about today is basically, Cameron, your journey with cancer and how you are such a warrior and survivor, and you're going to tell us all about it. But what's upcoming on May 18th of this year is the St. Jude Celebrity Chef and Wine Dinner. So on May 18th, we are going to be celebrating this family of the Hilliard Grays because you are being honored with the Hope Award, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So let's tell everybody what the Hope Award is. I'm just going to read this because it's amazing. It is an annual award honoring a pediatric cancer family who has gone above and beyond in their advocacy for the St. Jude mission, which of course is finding cures and saving lives. This family is one that inspires us all to lean into our community and business connections, spread awareness of St. Jude, and invite others to join its life-saving mission. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Now, we've all been to this dinner before, but what's it like? What are we going to do at this?
Yeah. Are you going to speak?
You've never been. Okay. We've been once before. Okay. Do you know what we're going to do?
We're going to have dinner and I'm going to have a speech.
Are you going to speak?
I think so.
I can't wait.
Good.
We're going to raise a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're bringing some of your friends. I'm bringing some of my friends.
Mm-hmm. I'll be there.
Yeah.
I'll be there.
Uh-huh.
Good.
So,
and we have some great MCs too.
Natalie and Jonathan Stewart are going to be the MCs of this event, which is wonderful. They are philanthropic through and through for our community. So that'll be really fun. This event, it's obviously got an auction. It's a wine dinner, tables of great food. There'll be an auction to raise money, speeches and honoring of you and your family and the journey that you've gone through. So it'll be a good time. You all check the show notes for tickets and more information about going, but we will be there. We hope you are too. And we just, you know, appreciate all the support that we've been given. You have been given over the years, and we're going to keep that going because St. Jude is an amazing place. And we're going to kind of learn more today about how it's been amazing for you and your family.
So Cameron, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
I want you to tell us, because we know we're going to let your mom tell us about what her journey was like. I know my journey. Lee knows all the things that went on. Tell me what it was like for you to be at St. Jude, first of all.
It was hard, but it was also really fun. There was really good service dogs. My favorite one's name was Puggle. And it was scary, but it was fun.
What did Puggle do for you? Like, why? I mean, did you just pet him?
So he was just he was a golden retriever. He was a really nice golden retriever. And sometimes when I was in chemo, they'd take us to this room with a big screen where we could play Nintendo, and it was really fun. And once we played Uno on him.
He was a table for your Uno games because you play with Brittany, the child life specialist. Yeah. Who was one of our favorites at St. Jude.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
So do you want to start with the story?
Yeah,
maybe?
Let's back it up.
Let's back up.
And kind of do a little bit of a timeline. And Clary, do you want to start there when, you know, what happened first to get you to the cancer diagnosis?
Yeah, so it was, you know, kind of crazy.
Right, this is difficult, right?
So it was the pandemic. We moved to Montana. We moved back. That's a whole different podcast. We move back. They're doing, you know, pod life. You had a great pod with a great teacher and a small group because it's the spring of 2021 and you were getting headaches.
Yeah.
And you don't complain about much. Like you're really kind of an easygoing kind of kid. And so we were like, hold on, this is weird. And Dr. Marianne Cross, who's local here, fantastic pediatrician, told her about it. She said, keep a log of what's going on. And I did. And fast track to about March of 2021, you had an episode of a headache followed by vomiting. Nap. Yeah. And then a nap. And that's when she said, send him to the ER. I've got neurology coming to meet you. Y'all are going to do an MRI. And, you know, I didn't pack an overnight bag. I didn't think this was going to be much. I thought, I don't know what I thought it was going to be, but certainly not cancer.
Right.
And it turned out actually the MRI didn't show the
tumor
that's about 14 millimeters.
Right.
Yeah. About the size of your finger.
About the size of your pinky.
Wow.
Which is good because it's not huge.
Okay.
But not good because they didn't see it. And so you went through two brain surgeries for hydrocephalus, which is too much fluid in the brain. And that was just a symptom of the tumor.
Okay.
Didn't see the tumor. So we come back home after being in the hospital for a couple weeks and you still were having headaches. And one of the radiologists was like, I want to see another MRI and I want this one to be sedated. So, which is not fun at all.
Yeah. Sedation isn't that fun. Sedation.
This is the first time you'd ever been sedated, right?
Well, no, because he'd already had two brain surgeries.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But for an MRI. And that one came back. And Dr. Erin Kina, who's also local and fantastic neurosurgeon, she had to give us the news that he had a type of tumor in his brain. And they didn't know if it was cancerous or not. But after she operated, she could quickly see that it was.
Mm-hmm.
And the type of cancer is called medulloblastoma.
Yes.
Can you say that?
Medulloblastoma.
There we go.
And is it rare?
Yes, it's very rare. Mm-hmm. I mean, childhood cancer is pretty rare across the board.
I remember at St. Jude, we met another person who had a medulloblastoma.
Yeah, so at St. Jude, you run into other kids with cancer.
Yeah.
But yeah, not usually at the point.
Yeah.
Cameron, do you remember having headaches and feeling bad before all this, or is it kind of a blur now?
Yes, I remember it very well.
Okay.
Like, sometimes at school, while we were just reading a book, I'd have to, like, lay down because I was having a really bad headache, and sometimes I'd have to go vomit.
Yeah, you can say that.
I remember something. My dad told me that I told him that I was having headaches while I was asleep, which is
really
not normal.
Ooh.
So that's how we knew something was up.
Something was up.
Yeah. Well, that just goes to, you know, speaks highly of your intuition as a mother to continue to advocate for him and say, let's figure this out, and to have such good doctors, Marion Cross, Erin Kina, that's a good start to a horrible journey.
Pretty much a hero at this point. Am I correct?
Total hero.
Because she's the one that found this tiny little tumor.
And she was the one who took it out successfully with no collateral damage. And I just remember looking at her, like looking her in the eye as he was going back. And I was just like, bring me my baby.
Right.
Bring me my baby back. His personality. Do not let it change. And she did.
And she did.
Successfully. Yes. It's never good to have cancer. One of the other issues was, she successfully took the tumor out, but there was almost, she explained it like a spray paint.
Yeah.
Right.
Around the cerebellum of cancer cells that she can't scrape off. So that kind of led him to be in the highest risk group for medulloblastoma. So Erin Kina in Charlotte, fantastic, did her residency or at some point in
Is this career. At Novant, correct?
She's at Novant, yes. But at some point she was at St. Jude. Dr. Tom Merchant is the best proton therapist. Mm-hmm. He's a doctor. I don't know if that's the right word.
Sure.
He's a doctor.
In the world.
Hell of a doctor.
One of them, for sure. And she knew him personally. Mm-hmm. Well, I think at some point, you know, whatever, they had worked together. So she was able to usher us to the very best. And Dr. Merchant was, because that was the first step, was proton radiation therapy, which was the absolute hardest part of the whole treatment.
Okay, what happens
there?
Tell
me about, how did it feel to have proton?
Do you want to get that? Your...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. This is you going into.
So when I was having radiation, I'd have to put this over my face. And it's like they
and they bolt you down to a
oh my gosh to the in a table. So and I had to get little tattoos so they could figure out exactly where to put the radiation. And
did it hurt?
You don't feel it.
You don't feel okay. the radiation.
No.
Did it feel weird when they nailed you down to the ground with that mask on your face? I mean, they nailed you to something.
Not him.
Do you want me to hold this?
Or the mask. Yeah.
Yeah. So the first, so it was 6 weeks. The first 4 weeks okay. was mandatory to be sedated for each one. Ooh. And so that means you can't eat 12 hours before. And that means sedation, you did not handle well at all.
I was always super hungry.
You were always hungry. Your personality changed. You lost like 20 pounds. You were tiny and sad and you slept all the time. It was awful. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Keena, again, back in Charlotte, we're in Memphis at St. Jude at this point, but Dr. Keena was advocating on our behalf or just kind of putting in my ear, like, push for him to have the last 2 weeks non-sedated.
Okay.
And that was a push, and I had to advocate very hard, and I had to get my mommy strength up for that one. And, you know, I did, and you did. You were able to prove that you could sit still. That was the key, because if you moved at all.
So you all worked as a team on this. You had to talk like, Cameron, you're going to do your part.
And Child Life. I believe that Brittany and Puggle helped with this as well. Yes, okay. they did. So, so, I mean, it was just to prove that he could stay still, bolted down to a flat surface.
It was hard, but now
I'm not sure I could do that.
Now I can do it really good.
Yeah. And it was great. Dr. Merchant was like, yeah, let him try it. And it was more the other people that were like, no, he can't do it. I was like, well, let's just see.
How long was
this? Let's just see.
How long did he have to stay in this position, not moving?
Wow. Yeah, like an hour.
An hour, wow. 60 minutes.
So every day. An 8-year-old on a piece of
anything. He was seven.
He was seven. And he is not going to move for 1 hour.
But he didn't have to have sedation and he could eat. And also like, constant sedation after sedation has very damaging long-term.
Makes me super drowsy.
Yes, it has long-term effects that are not great. So we were trying to get away from those. Mm-hmm. And you did it, dude, right?
Way to go.
Boom. Right. Way and to go. And then afterwards, the nurses and the staff are like, how did you get him to do that? This is huge. This is great. We want other children to do this. Uh-huh. And I was like, all right, well, let him do it.
Good for you.
So that was that.
At this point, we're in summer. That's radiation at St. Jude.
Yeah, at this point, it's the summer. And then we get a 6-week
and you come home
break,
for a little bit.
And that was the worst 6 weeks ever. We tried to go to the beach. And
I remember that.
And we did go to the beach.
That was not fun.
No. That was the worst beach trip you've ever had. I know.
You were just constantly sick.
Yeah.
And
I was there.
Getting dehydrated. And we had to do an emergency trip home. And there's always comedy.
A silver lining.
Not a silver lining, but this some comedy. Funny. So it's awful, right?
Yes.
It's awful.
Very terrible.
Can I what happened when we were driving?
Yes. Tell the story.
And it's what time? 4 a.m? You're sick.
4 a.m. I feel terrible. Oh. I'm half asleep. So we're driving back from
your dad's driving.
My dad's driving back to Charlotte. And so we're just driving. Then a deer purposely just bumps right next
like
to the car.
Ran into the car.
Like y'all didn't hit a deer. A deer hit you.
We didn't hit the deer. The deer hit us.
Oh my
gosh. And bent the door. Like, and Robert goes, let's just keep going.
And so you showed
an
up.
IV. Yeah, he got to the hospital for an IV.
Yeah.
He was dehydrated. But deer hit the car. What does that mean?
I mean, you're not going through enough.
When you think about the trauma y'all have all been through, Cameron, and like from the very beginning, can I just back up one more time?
Of course.
Between the time you were at Novant and Dr. Keena, you know, removed that like incredible tumor, it was 2 weeks. You had 2 weeks to move to Memphis in the span of time where you actually had to be accepted by St. Jude because it is a research hospital.
Yes, and there was a protocol going on actively for medulloblastoma that we were able to get into. Thank goodness. So we would have gone anywhere. We talk about that. We would have gone to Tokyo.
Yeah.
we were lucky that the very best medulloblastoma treatment happened to only be, you know, a state away.
States away. Yeah.
So this is happening in March. School is going on for you. School is on. You have a sister. Aubrey, who is also in school.
Yeah.
And also very worried about her brother.
Right. Very worried about her brother. And I remember going to your house and you had this, and we're going to say it. And they had this saying. And what was the saying, Cameron? At your house in March of 2021.
What did we like to chant?
We'd like to chant stupid cells go to hell.
Let's do it right now. Okay, ready?
Stupid cells go to hell.
Stupid cells go to hell.
Do it again. I have two shirts that say that.
Yes, a good friend, Colleen Cadella, who's also a doctor, gave us this.
Yes.
Those inappropriate shirts that we would wear around St. Jude.
That very appropriate.
I love it.
So, but the backstory on stupid cells go to hell, so we can kind of explain that, is my husband, Robert, is really, he's a wonderful man, and I think he's really great at explaining things when it's all kinds of things. He's great at math.
He's a smart guy.
He's a smart guy. And
he's cute too. You should see him.
Yeah. You look like him.
You too.
Yeah. So the way that we sat the kids down, and we had to tell the kids your camera, we had to tell you.
I remember
that. Cancer. And we sat down and we're like, I'm like, how are we going to do
it? I barely knew what it was.
Yeah.
Right.
Do you remember how Daddy explained it though? He said, we sat down.
He explained it for like an hour very well.
Yeah, he did. Well, I don't know if it was an hour, but he said.
It felt like an hour.
Yeah, it felt like
he kind of started with like, Cameron, Aubrey, you know your body's made of cells. And y'all like, yeah. And cells do all kinds of things. Like they break up your body so you can see, so you can move, so you can do good things.
Yeah.
But sometimes a cell goes bad, and all the cell can do is something just stupid. He's just a stupid cell, doesn't know how to do anything right. And stupid was a word, especially when you were seven, that we were not saying in the house. So that was already like got their ears perked up. Like, there's a stupid cell.
Stupid cell?
We're saying stupid. And they said, and so Cameron, you have got some really stupid cells and they've got to go. And I don't know actually when we started to say stupid cells go to. I mean, it happened then. Was that your idea?
No, it wasn't my idea. I'm pretty sure it was
probably
your idea.
Mine. I'm so clever.
And she's quick to cuss, isn't she?
I am quick to cuss.
You don't cuss that much.
No, I'm just joking. Oh, I don't. Good. No, you heard it. I am not quick to cuss. But again, another word you weren't allowed to say, go to hell. So we were just like, those stupid cells, get on out of here.
I remember me and Aubrey were just walking around.
It was like a train.
Yeah, it was like a train. And we were just keep chanting that.
Yeah. Stupid cells, go to hell. And that's what we meant.
It worked.
Get the hell out of here, cells. Stupid cells. The good cells stay.
Right.
Bad cells go.
So, but getting back to that process, you still had less than 2 weeks before you had to up and move yourself.
I am good in emergency situations.
To Memphis.
Yes.
It was gave me something to do. So figured out where to live, figured out, find a, so St. Jude has fantastic housing. And if it happened now, we would have moved into St. Jude housing, but it was the pandemic.
Right.
And if we moved into St. Jude housing because of the rules during the pandemic, we couldn't have Aubrey visit at all, our daughter.
Right.
And that was a no-go.
Right.
So instead, I remember I was walking because I needed to be outside. It was a beautiful spring.
Yeah.
And I was walking to Navant from our house to pick up some medication that you needed while I was on the phone with this wonderful woman who just handled everything, got us an apartment, or she was, you know, an agent and filled it up for us. And then meanwhile, I mean, you were, I deputized you, Lee. Yeah. I said, I can't handle all the
people
that are
right.
I want the people. Mm-hmm. We had so much support, but I can't handle that piece. So can you
be the point person?
So all the communication came through you, and my gosh, the outpouring of support.
It was incredible.
It was incredible. I mean, we had Instacart.
Hundreds of letters.
The letters were so
incredible.
Good. And things coming our way and then we decided
Aubrey would stay here.
Yeah. So Aubrey couldn't go. Aubrey stayed with you.
I had a new daughter.
There were a lot of logistics there.
A lot of logistics. But actually, everybody just sort of fell into place.
Right.
I felt like as a family, myself, your dad, the other grandparents.
Kay and Dennis,
we all just, Aubrey Gray was living her best life, except for her brother was at St. Jude with cancer. So it was a tough time for her, at the same time, lots of attention and help.
Yeah.
Again, what did you call it? The best place for the worst case at St. Jude?
Yeah, that's it.
So it's always great to have perspective when you look back on things. Thank God we're on the other side of that right now. And we can look back and go, wow, that was the worst time of your life, right?
Yeah.
And then, but you look back and you kind of see the beauty of the puggle and wow, I did that mask and tell me the other things you did, because I'm setting this up for other things that you did to sort of help yourself get through this hard time? You felt bad. What did you do with yourself?
So one thing I did a lot was I made lots of art. Mm-hmm. We brought some.
Yes. Here, yes, let's show some.
Should we show
Which one do you want to start with?
Start with
yeah, okay, this one. Guy. Okay. So tell us about this.
So this is a dragon I made.
You know, the Stanley hates dragons.
His name
right?
is Moss.
I have tons of dragons.
So you made a family of dragons. You kind of yeah. we didn't bring your first dragon, but yeah, you just started one, making the, dragons.
Yeah, this one's my most recent one. I didn't make this one in St. Jude, but I have another one I made okay. in St. Jude.
Is that Sola?
Yeah, oh, I love
this. This is Sola.
She's great.
It's a big.
So if you're on YouTube, you get to see this. So this might be the day you go to YouTube to take a look at
these
incredible. Dragons.
And we would bring your dragons. We would decorate
yeah,
we'd your
bring
room.
Them to chemo.
So yeah, so
chemo.
So when so he okay, we had radiation, 6 weeks off, back to St. Jude, got a G-tube, which is a feeding tube. Thank goodness. And then 7 rounds of chemo, and each round was a month.
And he wants to show this one too, and I don't
would,
blame him.
We would go to inpatient for the really hard rounds of chemo, yeah. but you would bring your art.
Yeah.
Yes.
You would bring great. All your animal. You're an animal guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I
love to show We'd bring a ton of stuffed animals. One of your good friends sent you like a 12 foot
yeah,
long snake.
Someone sent me a 14-foot stuffed animal snake.
So did we bring that? Yeah, we did.
Yes.
Miss of Easter course. Gave you that great pillow with
yeah,
the lion face.
I love that. That
pillow.
And the rooms at St. Jude are just
they're nice.
Already beautiful and
right.
like so kid friendly. Like they have real lights.
My fave, yeah, they have LED lights. Remember their room where it's like the solar system room?
Oh, how cool.
That's really
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, and there's just like tons of planets in it and it looks really cool.
Yeah, but well, if we were moving in for 5 days, we were going to settle in. And yeah. and so, yeah, you had, but anyway, you made your art. You also brought your art. And I always felt like your dragons that you created all on your own were like kind of protecting you a bit.
You told me that.
I know.
Yeah, you told me. And I
mentioned
it was
that.
True. But I thought it was funny, not funny, but see, again, in restaurants, when you go back and look at things after they've happened, I remember sitting around at Christmas when mm-hmm. we all came, and what did we all do as a family? We painted.
We painted oh, yeah. snakes, right?
We painted snakes. We painted flowers and
Dragon
snakes.
City. Mine was horrible.
Snakes and, we
and it was so
Aaron
much
Kina
fun.
Aaron Kina sent those wooden snakes.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
wow.
Yeah. yeah.
So, can you want to talk about
the
how you're a reptile
snake.
Guy?
Oh, yeah.
Can we speak about Django?
Let's go.
Why we've been mentioning snakes so much is so I'm a big, I like reptiles. I have a pet
you
snake.
Think?
I have a pet ball python named Django. And
when did you get Django? Do you remember?
I got him right before I went to St. Jude.
You got him between radiation and chemo when you felt awful. And Gray Walker's son had just graduated from college, and he had this great ball python named Django.
I thought he was going to college.
No, he was getting a big boy job. He was moving on, so he had to get rid
this
of the snake.
This snake had been in a college dorm for 4 years.
It's really just like the stars align with this, because if we really fast go back, it was in Montana during 2020 right. that we ran into Gray Walker,
yeah,
which is just random.
Oh,
like,
wow.
how do you run into someone in Montana? And you and Gray sat down in the pool, do you remember? And talked about reptiles.
We talked about reptiles.
So that's, how, interesting. That's how it all set up. And then we came back between, I think I was at the studio working out, and I saw Gray. And she was like, Randolph's back in town. He's got a snake. Y'all need to come over. And I'm like, okay, yeah, that'll be fun. We'd love to visit a snake. The next thing I know, she's loading the terrarium in the back of my car. And she's like, y'all gotta have a spend the night party. And I was like, why do I feel like we just got a snake?
I remember you said to me, you said, of all the things I thought I'd be doing, I didn't think I'd be going to St. Jude. I didn't think my son would have cancer. And I certainly didn't think I would be owning a snake in the middle of all this.
Oh my gosh, but Django was so good. And we put him on the plane, remember?
Oh,
and we left the rats
we
on the plane.
We accidentally left the rats
please
on the plane.
Please tell the story.
So we were
please tell
the
story.
So my dad, Aubrey Hilliard, is just like the greatest guy, nicest man, knows everybody.
Yeah.
One of his buddies had a plane, like a little plane, because you were immunocompromised. And so we were just using small planes to get there and back. And things. And he told him the story. My grandson has cancer. Can you get him to St. Jude? Absolutely. Okay. So he failed to mention, and Django's not a small snake. He's 5 feet.
5 feet long.
He's my height.
Lee's height.
He's Lee's size.
Yeah. He's not quite.
Now he is.
He's like,
he caught up with me.
But anyway, my dad neglects to tell this pilot that we're going to be taking a snake in a terrarium the size of like a small, I don't know, like, a coffee table.
Yeah.
And it's a big box. And it turns out the pilot is really scared of snakes.
That's who you want flying you.
Really unhappy about the whole thing. And
we never got invited back.
Yeah, he never invited us to be on his plane. And to like add insult to injury, there was a lot going on that day. But I left the little cooler. So Django eats. What does Django eat?
He eats rats.
But he eats frozen. They're gourmet.
White rats.
They're gourmet. Well, sometimes they're black and brown. It doesn't matter about the color, but they're gourmet frozen rodents. And I wasn't sure where to find one of those in Memphis, so I thought, I'll just pack a cooler.
A cooler of frozen rats. Let's just go with
that. And then I left it on the plane.
Okay, so the guy found
a bunch of...
Were they stinky yet?
Defrosted rats?
He's never spoken to us, so I have no idea.
I hope you never run into him again.
Me too. He was so nice, but we really...
Until you left frozen rats.
Anyway, and then our landlord, who was so nice, he and Robert are carrying... Again, like Django's terrarium is huge. Up these steep steps in our lovely apartment.
Yes.
And he's like, what? Like, everyone's just like, what? What?
No, can I just interject? Because my ex-husband and I are really good buddies. And we were walking down your steps that day. I remember being at the bottom and he was at the top.
Taking the snake?
Yeah, we locked eyes. And this is the worst day of our lives. Mm-hmm. We burst out laughing. Because we're like, what are we doing? We're carrying a terrarium of a snake down the steps to put our grandson on a plane to go to St. Jude because he's got cancer. And we're just laughing out loud because who thought I would be doing that, right?
Jenga's a good snake.
So,
can I say something about Jenga?
Yeah, please.
So whenever I came back from chemo or came back from the hospital, he'd always have his head peeking out of the little cage.
Really?
And it was just really sweet.
He would wrap around you too.
I will say... I hope no one listening to this is going through pediatric cancer. But if they are, I will tell
a snake
is the best pet.
Get a snake.
And here's why. So when your counts go down, so chemo works, you get your chemo, your ANC and your platelets would drop, your hemoglobin would drop. And when that happens, it's very dangerous because if you get, say,
if I just get a little scrape and it starts bleeding, then it can be really dangerous.
Yeah, you can't stop bleeding and you also can get an infection.
Yeah.
Well, cats and dogs scratch a lot. You know what?
Or bite.
You couldn't have had
your cat. You know what Django does? He gives you hugs.
He does.
And he never bites.
He sticks his little tongue out.
And he never bites. Exactly.
He's a good snake.
That is a perfect pet.
I feel like, Cameron, you would do this thing, though. So you really disliked getting access. You had a port, and you really disliked getting access. And I saw you do this a couple times with a twinkle in your eye. Before you had to get something terrible done to you, like getting access that you really didn't like, you'd be like, I have a snake.
I would.
And I know how to control it.
And the nurse would be like, what? And then you'd like, and you're like, mom, pull out a picture.
It would just be to give a little time before I get access.
Yeah, exactly.
You're procrastinating.
Procrastinating, but also the shock value.
You're like, kind of charming the nurses.
Are you afraid of snakes?
You kind of use your animals. Is this story correct or is it not correct? One time when you're back to the dog.
Yeah, Puggle.
Puggle. Okay. So is it correct that one time you had it, you did not want any more shots, you didn't want...
Well, you mean the... never mind.
And anyway, a doctor was coming in the door. Is this correct? Because I might have made it up in my head. Sometimes I do. Did Puggle stand between you and the doctor?
I remember that.
And say... say with his eyes and his body, his, you know, dog body, he's not ready. Mm-hmm. Is that what happened?
I feel like I remember that.
Yeah.
Puggle's a good boy.
These dogs
had a serious connection.
Yeah.
We got probably a little bit more time with Puggle than we were allowed to.
Finagled your way.
Yeah.
Finagled your way.
Yeah.
Okay. So you've got therapy as far as for yourself, all your stuffed animals, your real animal, your art, your mom, your dad, letters. Tell me about the letters that you received, because sometimes people don't know what to do when they learn that a loved one or a friend has cancer, or even what to say. So do you have any advice for people who are writing letters, what to say and what that meant to you? Or do you even remember? Was it just the act of it?
Just the act of it's really nice. I don't remember the letters that much.
Okay.
But I thought it was really nice that people were writing to me.
Mm-hmm.
And the one I remember the best is my sister's teacher wrote to me and gave me like lots of books.
That's Stacey Lynch.
Stacey Lynch.
The
one of my favorites.
That's really kind.
Some of your favorite books, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So it's really just the act of acknowledging that you're going to get something
every day, right?
Yeah.
Because you weren't in school. You were by yourself with other patients.
At St. Jude, they kind of have a school, but it's kind of not like a real split.
You'd go when you could feel good enough.
Yeah.
And you liked it, right?
And just another, I mean, there's so much about St. Jude, but everything is free. I remember, Clara, you told me you'd walk into the cafeteria and it was like milkshakes and all these things that children would just dream about.
Yeah.
Or just
Mem Pops.
Just go and pick them up.
Mem Pops are good. They're kind of like King of Pops, but for Memphis.
Oh, yeah.
And so there's like high end
gourmet
popsicles. And I will tell you, after something hard, I would get one too.
Sure. Lemonade.
Yeah. And, you know, you're supposed to have your mask on in the hospital. And, like, after a long day of Mem Pop, I was just like, you know what? I'm going to eat this Mem Pop.
That's right. And this is...
Of course.
And it's going to be... And it's going to be good.
It's going to be amazing. Oh, my goodness.
And the doctors and the nurses, anything about them that you can tell people? You, Cameron, were they... Did you like them?
Yeah, I liked them.
Did you have one favorite?
So, do you have any shout-outs? What if I name names and you give me a reaction?
Okay.
Oh, fun.
This is fun. Tom Merchant. Dr. Tom Merchant.
Really nice.
Really nice. Like the best of the best. Dr. Kina. Dr. Aaron Kina.
My favorite.
Oh, I love
there we go.
All right. Be nice. Never mind. I gotta move on. Moving
skip
on
that one.
I know who you're going to say.
Yeah, let's keep
don't
moving.
Say it.
Dr. Ragavan, do you remember her? She was the anesthesiologist that figured out how the best way to do your sedation. I loved her.
But can I see who it was?
No. We're going to Ragavan.
Wait.
Oh, stop it.
That one.
Dr. Bolin, the local St. Jude Novant affiliate. She's one of my favorites. She was at the walk this past.
Oh, yeah, I remember her.
Yeah, she's awesome. Mm. And then, of course, there's Aditi Bagshi, who was your oncologist.
She's nice.
She's nice. She's smart as can be. And then, of course, on this list, I have Pugl and Brittany, who we have covered, and Sarah Reidenauer.
Super nice.
She's child life, and she's still there because Pugl and Brittany actually moved to Charlotte.
She gives me she gets like a joke book, and they're really funny. And like, she also brings funny toys, which also help.
Yeah.
Wow. So y'all will see this in the show notes, and I know we've already covered it, but these are the top doctors, the top doctors in the world in this very specialized study of this type of cancer.
Yeah,
so
Dr. Gajar started the medulloblastoma studies, I think in the 90s.
Okay.
And it's just made huge changes. I mean, it used to just not be a thing that was survivable, and it has changed a lot. And as you can see, I mean, Kim, you're not just like alive, but like you got good coordination and you rock climb and you make good grades in math and science and everything.
Right. Let's be real, Mom.
And some of the side effects, though, because this is a brain cancer, would be not being able to walk well, not being able to have mental capacity.
That happens often, sadly. Right. It happens often.
Probably.
So we have a really good, we have the best that we could ever hope.
Yeah.
There's also, there's a lot of side effects with kids and the cancer treatment with their endocrine systems. And we are addressing that. Cam's got some stuff going on, but that is a side effect that is easily handled.
You mean nausea?
No. Like, you know, you're like, can we talk about it?
Yeah.
Supralin implant.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And you get growth hormones. Okay. Hold on. Some more comic relief.
Oh gosh.
So I'm 6'2". Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Robert's
not
6'4".
A short family.
I'm aware.
Yeah. Aubrey Gray is,
5'4".
5'5". And she's 12.
Five.
Like, we don't have a short
gene in your body?
Yeah. No. Like nowhere. And Cameron was actually on track. Dad crunched the number 12. You were the ninth largest child born on your birthday in North Carolina.
State.
Yeah. So you were on track to be like very, 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 very tall, like 6'9".
Wow.
And one of the side effects is growth deficiency.
I feel like I'm still going to be like 6'4".
Yeah, I think you are. So instead of 6'9", you're going to be 6'4". But you have to take growth hormone injections once a week. Which is just, the irony is just not lost on me.
I know.
I'm like, what?
How are we taking growth hormones?
How long will this happen? The growth hormone.
I don't know. We have a great doctor here, Dr. Roars, who's helping us with that. But I think until he's done growing, I think that's like a just until we're done.
Yeah.
So,
Cameron, did you know you were brave? Like, did you become brave because of this?
It's not like I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm brave.
Of course, because you're very humble.
You are humble.
So humble. So humble.
You get it from your grandmother.
Yeah, I'm so humble. Me too. It doesn't really occur to me,
right,
that like how hard it was.
Interesting.
Like, I don't remember all the hard stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, my brain kind of just like got rid of all the hard stuff.
Thankfully.
So. I love that.
We kind of do that to survive, right?
Yeah.
And you remember the fun stuff.
Yeah, I remember all the fun stuff.
Yeah, like barnyard toss. We made...
Wait, can I say anything about the paintballs?
Oh, that's so fun. I forgot about that.
So I was like having an eye... We were at like the line nurse where like I get my IVs and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And like they laid some paper out. This was Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She laid paper out and she gave me some... She gave me paintballs, and she let me throw paintballs at the paper. And then my mom...
Some nurses did it, too.
Yeah, some nurses did it, too. But then my mom started throwing some. Oh. And she
threw, of course.
And she may, or, and she may have thrown some at the outlet.
The electrical outlet.
Did not.
I didn't mean to.
And then,
good
did you, like... Did the electricity have a problem?
No.
Was there a fire? Did you call the fire department?
No. And then... like the head nurse comes in. Ooh. And
she's got a lot of power.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, look what my mom just did. And she covered my mouth.
Yeah. But then she started laughing and I think she grabbed a paintball too.
Yeah, she started throwing.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of these people. Yeah. Tell them about that. Didn't somebody that was at St. Jude go up in space?
Oh, yeah. Haley. I can't pronounce her last name.
Did you meet her?
Yeah, I met her. Mom met her twice.
We totally know her.
I met her once. So
she has a great book called, what is it called? I just remember from IV drips to rocket ships, but it's called, that's like the subtitle. Oops. But
we'll find it and we'll put it in the notes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So was she a patient at St. Jude and now she's a grown astronaut? So
she was a patient at St. Jude. Then she was a nurse. Then in the inspiration for, she got picked to go to space.
Wow.
And we never saw her as a nurse. We didn't ever.
She pops around when we see her at St. Jude. She's being a nurse.
We saw her hanging up her picture in like the hallway.
Wow.
And that was
the picture. In the hallway.
And that was the day that we did the paintball.
It
also
was like the best day ever.
I said,
"Wow, that's awesome."
After once we got back, I said, "This is the best day ever."
And we were also done. You were done with your chemo. It was all coming together. I will say her picture is really cool. So in the hallways of St. Jude, they have patient pictures.
Okay.
And it's like survivors. So a lot of the pictures are an adult holding a framed picture.
There's a few celebrities.
There's some celebrities.
Wow.
But holding a picture of them sick. And in Haley's case, she's in space.
Oh my gosh.
With her hair up in the, no gravity.
Yes.
Holding a picture of herself when she had cancer.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. Super cool.
So does that inspire you to do what when you grow up?
I don't want to be an astronaut when I grow up.
What do you want to be?
I want to be a marine biologist because I really like marine life. And I'm scuba certified. And
that's right.
And I just want to be a marine biologist.
And he's the best teammate on trivia when it comes to animals. Trust me, I want him on my team every time. How many bones does a shark have?
Zero. It has cartilage instead of bones.
Okay. Hey.
Yeah.
You heard it here first.
Yeah.
Probably.
So I'd like to, before we round it up, Clary.
Yes.
What would you say to a mom or a dad who that day, the shock that came to you, what would you say to those people?
Oh, I don't
in
know.
In retrospect.
That's rough.
I mean, we don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, you don't know what's going to happen. You can't say it's all going to be okay.
No.
I wouldn't say that.
No.
Well, you've mentioned too that there was a time when you said, I've got to be a warrior.
That was kind of this weird feeling that like turned on in me. When we were flying, me and you to St. Jude, Daddy had the car and was driving to Memphis. I didn't share this with you, but like at the time I remember just like sitting there and like meditating and praying and like just thinking like, what is it that I need to do?
Mm-hmm.
And I summoned the spirit of like a warrior. Like I've got to become a warrior.
Of course.
And I will say,
you did, by the way.
Oh, and I did.
Yes, you did. You've got the shield and the sword to prove it.
The shield and the sword and the fire. And the, Robert was like, you're acting like you're on The Bachelorette. And I was like, what? And he was like, you're not here to make friends, are you? And I was amazing. I'm going to make friends with the doctors and the nurses.
Yeah.
But I have got a one-track mind here. Mm-hmm. I'm here to save my child's life. I'm not here to like, I mean, not, I wasn't being mean to people.
Of course.
But like.
You were not there to make friends. You were there to make sure your son was surviving and being well taken care of.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. And so that was actually super helpful. Well, just a lot of, like, the family support was super helpful. Like you guys taking care of Aubrey, like me not having to take care of Aubrey and her day-to-day things was incredibly helpful for me to be able to just focus on the task at hand, which was Stupid Cells Go to Hell and you have the best care. And you just, you know, it's around the clock care between like taking medicine on schedules, making sure your G-tube was working, all kinds of things I can't even remember anymore. But it was like, it was around the clock and important. But one thing I will say, some advice that Erin Kina gave me, I think is helpful to share with other parents maybe. She just said, on the good days, do as much stuff. Have a good time.
Yeah. Wait, can I say something?
Yeah,
please. We'd always go, there's a big pyramid at Memphis, which is a Bass Pro Shop. And it has like really cool fish and alligators in it. But also we went to the Memphis Zoo, which is an amazing zoo. They have tons of cats and they have
giraffes.
Oh yeah, they have like giraffes, elephants.
I like the dancing polar bear.
Yeah, that's what I was going
to
say.
Oh wow.
I got to go one day.
There is a polar bear. Or it's actually three polar bears, but one of the polar bears was really known for like dancing.
He just dances. He's got great coordination. He goes forward.
He's having a good time.
He's got like a song in his head.
I hope y'all are watching because they've got it going on.
They're all doing the polar bear dance. I mean, I actually went to the zoo one day with you and you were not feeling well, but we had fun anyway.
That was a good day for him. Yeah, we put you in his wheelchair at some point.
Yeah, we did. We were drinking. We drank beer.
There were beers at the zoo.
There were beers at the zoo.
I'm not going to say no to a beer at the zoo either. When my kid has cancer. You know
me
what I mean?
Either. My grandchild.
Wait, you like the hot cocoa? I forgot about the best part at the zoo, in my opinion. What? There's an amazing herpetarium. A herpetarium is a room with reptiles.
Thank you for explaining that.
So there's like crocodiles, alligators, snakes, frogs, like Komodo dragons, lizards, toads. There's tons of different stuff.
So we couldn't wait to go into this place.
Yeah. Sometimes we would just go. So St. Jude has a lot of great perks or whatever you would say. So St. Jude patients can go to the zoo for free. Stuff.
Yeah, you could also go in the trolleys for free. Yeah. The Bass Pro Shop even for free.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Wow. So we took advantage of that. Sometimes we'd be like, I just want to see the snakes. So we'd drive over to the zoo and just go see the snakes and then go
then
home.
Then go home because you could. That's incredible. But that is a good... The best advice, make the most out of the good days. Go for it.
Exactly. And then, and a lot of days you didn't feel very good. But we would still make our own little fun. We had this game, these stress balls. Yeah, I don't know who sent us these. They're awesome.
I think, did Casey?
Probably. She's a great gift giver. but yeah, more advice. If your friends are going through something bad, send them funny stuff.
Right.
Yeah. Games.
Natasha sent us like... All kind, like a rubber chicken, like just funny stuff. But anyway, we had these stress balls that all looked like different barnyard animals, and they were hilarious. You'd squeeze them, and they'd be like,
"Oh, funny!"
And we would play a game. I mean, it was a simple game, but we loved it. We put on the Talking Heads. It was always the same album.
I remember your dance.
Yeah, and we that's a different thing. Oh, I forgot about our dance.
No, you almost need to do the dance, but we don't have enough room on the film.
Okay, so like. There was a box of barnyard animals.
Okay.
Oh, we'd open the box up. The lid would be 2 points in the like part of the inside of the box would be 1 point. And we'd each have four barn animals that were stress balls. And like we'd go like 10 feet away and we'd see who'd get more points. And it was a super fun game.
A fun game. Do you remember what we used to call all the stuff we'd make up? Do you remember what we would say making sunshine? We're making sunshine.
Ooh, I love that.
Remember? Oh, yeah. I even like painted a little picture that said,
that's kind of a good thing to say every day.
Yeah. We just make a little sunshine. Today was a bad day, but let's go have some fun sunshine. Anyway.
I remembered this didn't come in the barnyard animal set, but at the St. Jude shop. Mm-hmm. There was super random stuff. Oh, yeah.
What do you call the gift shop, Cameron? Do you remember?
Oh my gosh.
What did I call it?
It was just like, do you need some, I don't know, something that you don't need, a random collection of things?
Should we go shop for things no one needs?
It really is a random collection.
Yeah. That's funny. What could you find in there?
So this is what I was going to say. We got a stretch pig in there.
Oh, yeah, a stretch pig?
That thing's awesome.
What?
It was like a pig that had wet sand in it, kind of.
Right.
And like, so you could stretch it apart.
And we play the game, who can stretch the pig the farthest?
Where's the pig now?
He's with the barnyard animals. He likes to be
okay,
with them.
Okay.
But they're together still. He isn't stretchy anymore.
Yeah, he lost his stretch.
I love this.
I don't blame him.
I like all these memories looking back of the fun and all that. So can I turn around the question to you that I said this to your mom?
Yeah.
What would you tell a child, a kid, that your mom and dad just said you got some stupid cells that we got to get rid of, and it's called cancer? What would you say to a kid that's hearing that news for the first time?
This honestly made me feel better. Ask your parents if you could say stupid cells go to hell.
Okay.
All right. And we're all going to agree on that. Let's all say it together.
Start
again.
Cussing.
Ready?
Ready?
Stupid cells go to hell.
And thank you, St. Jude, and all of the incredible people that have helped, not just the St. Jude people, but our friends and people we didn't even know were our friends that stepped up. I mean, here in Charlotte, where we were sort of holding the fort with Aubrey, you know, we're sending as much your way as we can. People showed up, and that's what we need to do for people in life, no matter what they're going through, but particularly when you're going through one of these horrible diseases called cancer. So
I'm really proud of you.
I'm so proud of you. I could not be more proud of my
both of you, all of you.
And my daughter and my, you know, son-in-law and my granddaughter, Aubrey. I mean, you guys are an incredible family. You all deserve this award. I can't wait to be there. We're going to dress up. We're all going to be there. I can't wait.
Are you dressing up?
Yeah.
You're going to look so handsome.
You wear something size
a Nike t-shirt.
My mom's not going to let me.
Okay.
Yeah.
You got to be a little fancy.
You wear whatever you want. You're the man. You just do whatever you want.
Well, tell us too, before we go on, do you have checkups now? You were going back to Memphis.
I go checkups at to St. Jude every 6 months.
Yeah, we just graduated to 6 months.
Good job.
And you graduated to no more lumbar punctures, which means no sedation next time. We're just going to like waltz in, hang out, go to the zoo, and waltz out. Sound good?
Yeah.
I like that plan. So do you have a soft spot in your heart for Memphis?
Yes.
Good.
Oh,
good.
Oh, I will say we celebrated his first 6 month checkup, which was it was over Martin Luther King Jr. weekend in January as a family. Usually just he and I.
Right.
Go, but we all four went and made a weekend of it and stayed in a fun hotel downtown. I love Memphis.
Memphis right.
Memphis is good. Stuff.
The theater.
Yeah, the theater.
The movie theater.
And
that was a great
that's
day.
That's a good theater.
That's a good theater. I was there.
Yeah, the best
they gave us
theater.
They gave us a free showing one day.
Yeah, Cameron had low counts.
We saw Sing 2, I think.
Yeah, you got a private showing.
Yeah.
And the National Civil Rights Museum where Dr. King was assassinated. Mm-hmm. It's a fantastic
really
museum.
Good.
I like that place.
It's a really cool place.
Yeah.
The Lorraine Motel.
Yeah. There's all kinds of things. So,
well, do you want to say anything else before we go? You did a really good job on your first podcast.
Thanks.
No surprise. Anything else you want to say?
I don't think so.
Okay, good. Okay. You did a great job. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
You're very brave.
I love you so much. I love you so much. This is the best podcast. I mean, what a great feeling this is to have you all in the room. And my family and you, Lee, I love you so much.
I love you too.
All right, let's say goodbye.
Bye.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to us today, wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, you can now find our podcast on YouTube.
Yeah. If you liked it, please share, rate, and review. We love 5 stars. And we hope you'll work out with us online or in studio at HilliardStudioMethod.com.